Unspoken Tradition has just released their third album, this one on Mountain Home Records. The name of the album is Myths We Tell Our Young. We're going to talk to guest of the day, Ty Gilpin of Unspoken Tradition. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. I'm really happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass. One of my favorite people, and I'll tell you why, if you want to know, Ty Gilpin. How are you, Ty?
Good, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Ty is with a very, very strong band, Unspoken Tradition. I love the band. I also like Ty because I've seen Ty before in different, probably in IBMA settings, and if you're in the right room at the right time, Ty is he's making it rain CDs because he works for Mountain Home Music, and it's part of his job is to get those things out. So that was like, oh, this is the guy I need to hang around because he's going to give me all this great music from that label that he also does some marketing for.
That's right. That's right. I love handing CDs to DJs. They instant friendship.
It's almost like Halloween. You're handing out candy, and the kids don't know who the people are. They're like, yeah, man, give me some of that stuff. So,
yep, that's great. Well, find my way to all the DJ hearts that way.
Yeah, the reason we're talking, this is the third album now from Unspoken Tradition. This one is Myth We Tell Our Young, and 10 songs on it, Ty. And most of them, other than maybe say two or three, are come from within the band. You write a couple of songs, and is it Audie McGinnis writes several songs, and the bass player Lee Shufford writes a song.
That's right, Audie McGinnis and Lee Shufford on guitar and bass respectively. Both are songwriters, and they are the between the three of us, we're the contributors to the songwriting for the band, and about an equal share on this. I think Audie may have a few more cuts. He's a fantastic writer and fantastic player and singer, and writes songs that fit his style and his vocal style. And so all of us trying to contribute some original bluegrass writing.
And it is bluegrass, and I don't know why I have to say that, because I think I have a pretty broad scope of what. I don't honestly, Ty, I don't put limits on it. I mean, if it's kind of like, if I can get it and fits into my taste, it's bluegrass or unreal bluegrass, however you want to describe it, doesn't matter to me. But you guys definitely have you're pretty close to the right side of the plate or left side. You're not down center, but you're right over the home plate on bluegrass.
Great. That's good to hear. Well, we are from North Carolina, though.
That helps.
In the mountains of Western North Carolina, for the most part, too.
Speaking
mountains in Piedmont.
Speaking of mountains, there's a lot of songs that have mountains in them, and there's a lot. We talked about this before we went on yet. Even the album cover, to me, and so many of the there's so many great tunes, but Nothing But Sky and the first cut, Land, Dark Side of the Mountain, which we'll get into a little bit. The Mountains Win Again, Cold Mountain. There's a lot of mountain and nature. You put it better. I was trying to say outdoors. You said kind of nature themes.
Yeah, there's a lot of nature themes. Not sure exactly how that happened. Maybe that's where our heart is. Maybe
I think
we
so.
Seem to return to that as things progress forward. And you know, we obviously live in a beautiful part of the country. We're surrounded by a lot of that. And influenced a lot of the imagery of nature, but I think songs about nature and epic myths and sky and mountains, in some ways it's becoming even more nostalgic than ever.
Well, and Land, the song Land, and by the way, the first song on the album, Nothing But Sky, I don't know why this has happened, Ty, but I know from memory, I don't have a count, but I know that of the album I've played probably three or four cuts since it came out, since I got it. I know Nothing But Sky. I know that I played a lot of The Mountain Winds Again, and I've also played, I can't remember the other one that I played in, but in other words, three or four, but I always come back to those two currently, Nothing But Sky. And it starts off right away with an up-tempo tune, which is Nothing But Sky. We talked a little bit about off the air. I want you to talk about it, but Land... You talk about the band being in a place where there's a lot of nature. Land is exactly the point that, you know, listen, you can do a lot with the area that you have, but if you're destroying, I take it this way, if you're destroying or replacing land, you can't replace, you can't make new land.
Yeah, that's the idea that came from Audie, again, our guitar player, Audie McGinnis. It's one that he wrote, and I've seen a lot of, he's talked a little bit about it to me, and I've heard him talk a lot about to to press and radio about it. And the story is about him coming from his small, more rural town and moving to a bigger city and just being sort of overwhelmed by the sprawl and the and probably even some of the gentrification that goes on, and the fact that farmlands are quickly becoming suburbs. And I think in the same way that's sort of nostalgic, the song Little Cabin Home on the Hill, where you want to return back to the old home place, I think that kind of was a part of that message for him. You know, he had left his old home place, the rural village that he grew up in, and came into a bigger city and just saw this irreversible process of paving over nature. And I think it made him a bit nostalgic, and he wrote that song in a way that I also think fits his approach and his particular gravelly, sort of aggressive voice, and the whole thing together is a nice it's got a sense of urgency.
It does.
It really chugs.
It really chugs along. It's the beat and just the whole feel to the whole thing. It is urgency. That's the best way to describe it. It's an up tempo. You start. It's not as up tempo just for my ears. It's Nothing But Sky, the lead off tune. This, you guys really start off, and I think that's always a good idea to let people know where you're going as a band. And Nothing But Sky kicks it off, and maybe that's why I play it more. And then the 10th song on the album, The Mountain Winds, again, is a slower feel. Maybe it's just on timing, but I like all the songs, but I just know I play those the most. But to kick it off with Nothing But Sky is let you know that you're listening to Unspoken Tradition.
It's catchy, you know. We wanted to kick off with something catchy and something more upbeat, so there's a few upbeat songs on there. It's got a nice, Nothing But Sky's got a nice hook. I'm sure if you played it for your listeners, they recognize that. And so, we thought that was a great one to kind of dig into the album there.
But before I forget, we've kind of shotgunned the members of the band. Let's slow down a little bit, and we talked about who wrote and contributed what, but to tell everybody, the listeners, the members of the band of Unspoken Tradition.
So the members of the band that are on the album are myself, Ty Gilpin on vocals and mandolin, and Audie McGinnis on guitar and vocals, Lee Schufer on bass and vocals. Lee, since the album has been recorded, has had more family obligations. He's a full-time teacher and has three young, very young children, and he is playing with us a lot less. He's been our, for all intents and purposes, replaced by our new full-time guy, Sav Sankaran. Sav is an Asheville resident, but grew up in the Allegheny Mountains of Pennsylvania and is an incredible, incredible vocalist, bass player, and a writer himself, just like Lee. So he's a welcome new addition, but Lee is the main guy that you're going to hear doing all the vocals and bass playing on the album, and he wrote several of the songs on there. He wrote I Say Let's Go Colorado, which we think is just really fun tune. And Audie's younger brother, Zane McGinnis, on banjo, and he doesn't write the songs, but he sure cranks the banjo.
He's a great, I've never heard him before, and maybe I missed him before, but he's a great banjo player.
Absolutely, great right hand, and great timing, good tone. He's the youngin' in the band, and we've sort of brought him along, and he's taught us a lot along the way as well. That's Zane McGinnis. And then Tim Gardner, who I've played with for years, Brevard, North Carolina native, and makes his home now in Mills River, North Carolina, where he is a old-time open back, world-class old-time open back banjo builder and craftsman and luthier, and a fine, fine guy, and an incredible fiddle player, a great baritone singer as well, and that rounds out the five-piece either on the album or on stage.
Or who you would see now, yeah. The album, it kicks off, I like the up-tempo, it starts off Nothing But Sky Land, which has that extra message in there also. Force of Nature is, you might think when you see it as another song about nature, it's really sort of like a relationship. And how those things can be overpowering, even of maybe nature, I suppose.
Well, I felt that too. You know, I think Force of Nature, on the surface, seems like a love song, but I think it's about something bigger. It's where we got the, there's a line in there where we got the title for the album, Myths We Tell Our Young, and I think the message there, actually, I've even heard Audie talk about this, Audie on guitar, who wrote this one as well, talks about the message in there being that all things are transient, ultimately everything turns to dust. In fact, that's a line in the song.
Yeah.
And the one thing that kind of keeps us going is the fact that we celebrate the time we have together, and love keeps us together and keeps making life worth living, even in the face of the fact that everything is transient and will, this too will pass. So
there you go.
That's a deep message for a bunch of bluegrass boys. You would have thought.
Well, you jump right from that, which it is. It is, and I like that. I like the scope of that. But then you jump from right and you slow it all down a little bit, and you don't ever really say it in Dark Side of the Mountain. But Dark Side of the Mountain, I believe, is an implied bluegrass murder death kill song. I think there's more going on than spelled out.
Yeah, that's that song was our the first one that went to so far, we hope, went to number one on the Bluegrass Today charts. And of course, you know, murder sells, it seems like, but in the classic canon of the murder ballad.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't endorse the violence. We
no.
just, you know, we want to tell the story of what happened as a cautionary tale. And I think that murder ballads, that's what they're for. They're a cautionary tale.
Well,
they're not necessarily
honestly,
telling you that's what you should do.
No, it's, and honestly, you have to interpret it. It doesn't, you have to kind of, it could be that the couple, maybe they planted a bush, and maybe she just left him, and he goes to visit on that tree. It doesn't actually come right out. I just wonder if it depends on your frame of mind as to how quickly in the song you figure out what's happened.
That would be true. I'd say play it for the listeners and let them determine.
Well, that's what I'm.
What they think of that one?
I know. I think I know, but I do that. Yeah, everything kind of slows down there, and for good reason. There aren't that many upbeat songs. I guess there are, if you think about it in the history of bluegrass. But it's
sure.
a great song. The Uncharted Territory, again, you start picking up the pace a little bit, which is good. I like the way you guys move things around and the way you think you line up. This song did not come from within the band, which is Paula Breedlove and Brad Davis, I think.
That's correct. Both Dark Side of the Mountain and Uncharted Territory are Paula and Brad songs, and we're so thrilled to have get songs from those folks. We cut one on our prior album, great writers. We think Uncharted Territory really pushes the boundaries of your normal bluegrass chord arrangement.
Yes,
and
it does.
Paula and Brad are so great about that. They're so great about coming up with both the lyrics and coming up with great sequences and licks. And especially Brad on guitar, we try to play or interpret the demos that they give us very close to what Brad actually plays on, though, because he's just extremely – I mean, he's – beyond words, a guitar genius, and Audie does a great job, I think, trying to capture part of what Brad does, and we're so thankful that they're willing to give us some songs to try out. That's a great songwriting team, and Paula Breedlove, who has written for
everybody
in the bluegrass industry, she's sort of came out of a hiatus and is now writing more and more for people, and she's had a great deal of number one hits, including, the Dark Side's done really well for us, but she's had stuff for Dole Lawson and several other people. So, fantastic writer. We're so glad to have Paula consider giving us songs to record.
If you just turn it into Unreal Bluegrass, I'm speaking to Ty Gilpin, Unspoken Tradition. When did the album become available to the general public?
April 19th on Good Friday.
Right.
It just came out, so it's just a couple weeks into it, and we just found out it debuted this week based on the sales from its debut week that it debuted at number 5 on the Billboard Bluegrass charts, which is a unexpected but honor to have that accolade. That's a result of a big team of people behind us and having folks come out and buy some albums of the shows, as well as listen to us on digital platforms, because those digital platforms and the numbers we get from that actually add up and get counted towards those sales numbers. And we're thankful that people listen to us on Apple and Spotify and everything else, because it ultimately helps.
It counts,
and it really helps our sales numbers, and gets artists paid that way too. So It's fantastic.
See how easy you
We're
are.
We're thankful for the fans.
See how easy you are to lead. I honestly put that question out there about when it drops so you could do exactly what you just did. Because I knew the news was good this week, so it was like right down the pipe, and you did exactly what that's the information I wanted from you. I would have gotten it anyway, but I wanted you to say that on your own. like you volunteered it, so. Now,
hey, well, we just found out yesterday, so we're still excited about it.
I know.
It.
Well, I saw
still
that.
Foremost on our minds.
No, and it should be. It is a heck of an honor. Yeah. We talked about some of the pacing. We don't need to go through every song. There's so many great songs. But you wrote, do I have this written down correctly? I take notes. I have the CD, but is it Light Just One Candle and Cold Mountain Town? Are those?
Yeah, Light Just One Candle is a waltz about.
Exactly.
It's a different kind of love story. Maybe it's an awkward love story. It's a secret love story there. Yeah. I thought that was interesting. So I wrote that years ago.
It is, and honestly, that'll get you on the dark side of the mountain if you're not careful.
That's right. That's right.
Because we're lighting candles and we're sending messages, and when you listen to the song, that's your voice. That's your voice, correct? Are you singing the songs that you wrote?
No, that's Lee Schuffer singing the song on Light Just One Candle. Yeah,
okay, right.
And it's a nice classic waltz style blues.
It is. That's the only one I wrote waltz on the whole 10 of them. I put different pace indicators, but that was the waltz in my mind. And then Cold Mountain Town. Before we do that, let's back up just a minute to. Lonesome's going to be here, and that's just one of those. You can describe this again. Another kind of pretty up tempo tune, but it's kind of like somebody's going to be sad.
Yeah, nice straight ahead banjo driven bluegrass tune with the word lonesome in it.
There you go.
What could go wrong?
When you chart that on your board on the wall.
Yeah.
You want to put that in there, and that's perfect. It worked out well.
That's required. Required recording for any bluegrass album.
That's good. I told you, we'll talk about Cold Mountain Town because that is a tune that you wrote also.
Yeah. Cold Mountain Town is, I might get into trouble a little bit with that one. It's a song that is reflective of my experience living and playing music for the last 25 years in Asheville, North Carolina, and seeing the changes that have gone on in the city. There's a lot of imagery there that relates to that, if you know what the subject matter is about.
Yeah.
Another just sort of straight ahead, easy three chord message there, and something that was, I guess maybe I had to get out of my system a little bit, but it's more of a love letter than anything else to Asheville, North Carolina.
I agree with you. The last tune, by the way, and I have played this a lot, and it's a total different the pace on. The last tune, which is not from within the band, The Mountains One Again, is almost as different as Uncharted Territory is from the rest of the songs. I mean, a different way, but I mean, it's that much different to me, the tempo and the feel to that song.
Do you know where that song comes from, Steve?
I do not.
So there's a, some of your listeners I'm sure will know, there's a band that's still relevant and big now, but what really had its heyday in the mid-90s and early 2000s, a band called Blues Traveler. And Blues Traveler.
I know, okay.
So that's a Blues Traveler, yes. You know Blues Traveler.
That's what I kept, Now, I said no, but as soon as you started that guessing game, I remember John Popper was the big
John Popper.
Harmonica player, monster harmonica player.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That daggone it.
Yeah, we, on our, I think it was our first album, we did we covered a song by Cake. Stick Shifts and Safety Belts, and that turned out well. It was a big crowd pleaser, and there's something about that sort of era of the mid-90s that a lot of the guys that are younger than me were coming of age, although I came of age in the mid-90s. They must have been really – those have been little kids in the mid-90s, but they've been drawn to a lot of those songs from then, and Blues Traveler was one of those bands they're drawn to, and that this song just interpreted really well for our style of playing bluegrass, and it's slow, it's got a great message to it. Audie,
kills it.
Yeah, I think, I don't want to compare him to John Popper by any means, but in his own way, in his own gravelly and North Carolina vocal way, he does a great interpretation of that song. I think it came out really well. Mountains Went Again.
It's a great night.
Glad you like it.
I probably, I know I have this somewhere in the house, not for this show, but I was a blues traveler. Their very first album was kind of like heavy metal with a harmonica. Then they kind of evened out. Then they had some big commercial success, and then they just
right. They when they first started, and when I first, I think I was probably in high school, when they were kind of getting big, and their harder guitar edge and their jam edge was super attractive to me, and I always liked them for that.
Cool.
And yeah, they got a lot more pop success, which, you know, good for them. And this particular song, I thought, I think it might be on the Travelers and Thieves album. We just thought it would, you know, translate really well to acoustic and bluegrass. So I'm glad that glad you're playing it.
I'm not going to guess as to which album that is. Well, so then that leads me to this question, Ty. How do you collect the songs together? Well, you've got 10 on this new one from Unspoken Tradition, and we've talked about the many sources within the band, and also some by songwriters people would recognize. But for this one, Myths We Tell Our Young, how do you collect these songs, and how do you wind? You've kind of explained the Blues Travelers tune, but when you get all these things submitted to you as a band, how does the band go about deciding this is the 10 we're going to put out?
Well, I think the band, after now this on our third album, I think we finally figured out what fits our voice. And I don't just mean literally the voices that are singing, but our voice and what we want to say as a band and what fits us artistically. I think it's taken a while in a couple albums prior to that for us to really nail that down, but we've gotten to the point now that we know it when we hear it. We know it's something that we can make our own. And doing that with music and having your own voice, whether you're recording someone else's song or writing your own, being able to do that, I think, is really the key to having a successful collection of songs that you record. So we've, through a lot of trial and error and experience and experimentation, we've figured out what fits us and what we like, you know, what we like. And I think that's represented here with this album, and hopefully going forward we can continue to do that. But I think it's just a process that you go through as a band and as artists to figure out how your personal voice fits with the material. So we hope we've tried to do that with this one.
I think you have. I've told you before, I've always been a fan of the band. And I mean, handing out the CDs, okay, I recognized who you were and what you were doing, but I really, truly enjoy all of the music from Unspoken Tradition and have since I started getting the music.
Thanks. And, Steve, you were always been an early supporter of us, and we really appreciate that. In fact, all the DJs in our bluegrass community, you know, bluegrass artists could not exist without you, and especially you, Steve. You've done such a great job with the interviews, with curating your lists, and really giving your listeners the very best of what's out there. And we have you to thank for the successes we've had so far, so we appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it, Ty. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Now, I assume there's an Unspoken Tradition website. I know there is. People can find out what you're up to.
Ourname.com, unspokentradition.com, and we are on the socials, of course, and we also encourage people to follow us on our streaming platforms as well, you know, getting those numbers of followers and monthly listeners on those, you know, even Spotify accounts that people, talent buyers, look at those numbers, and if they're in Facebook numbers, and if we have, you know, a good following there, they consider us even beyond just listening to music, they consider us as something they may want to have bring to their hometowns and play for the folks. So it's always good to build up that fan base, even online.
That's where all of your marketing skills are coming into play also. Great band, but it's nice to know that you have your finger on the pulse of all those little things, because the landscape changes so quickly, and you have to keep up with so much to make sure you're being heard so that people can know what a great band it is. You do that very well.
Well, we can't always get out. You know, we have day jobs, and we try to be weekend warriors, and we try to play as much as we can and more. We can't obviously always just get in the van and travel all over the country, but we certainly can reach people virtually through those platforms. Yeah. And we love to interact with people who like our music that way too, so we welcome people just message us, listen to our music online. It's totally great. We love that community.
Well, listen, man, I'm going to let you go. Ty Gilpin, Unspoken Tradition. The new one, which is killing it, number 5 already on the Bluegrass Billboard charts, Myths We Tell Our Young, and it's on Mountain Home Music. Thanks, man. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks very much for having us.
Sure. I'll talk to you later, man. Bye.
See ya.